Today, I'm going to give a sermon on the tradition of Christmas or the spirit of Christmas. Many of us have Christmas traditions. My family has several Christmas traditions that we love to celebrate. The first Christmas tradition that we love to celebrate is that of decorating on November 1st, and the groans across the church go. Some people think that that's heresy to be able to do that, but we love the Christmas tradition so much. We love to fill our house with Christmas as early as we possibly can. That's also joined in with endless Christmas movies. All the traditional ones are playing on the TV all the time. Sometimes my children love Christmas so much, especially my son, that he doesn't think it's a problem to watch Christmas movies during the summer either. And my daughter explains to him that he's not allowed to do that because it's Christmas time. We also have a Christmas tradition, like many families do, that we open up one Christmas present on Christmas Eve, and it is always the same gift, and it's Christmas pajamas, which we have worn to Christmas Eve candlelight services, because it's a joyful thing to do. But also for my family, a Christmas tradition, which they can't seem to get away from, we will not get away from it, is that I've raised my family within the church. And so Christmas Eve candlelight services has very much been a part of our Christmas tradition. Here at Twin Peaks Community Church, we do one, which is a wonderful time to come together, and I encourage you to come out for that on Christmas Eve. But at the church that we came from, we had a Christmas Eve candlelight ceremony at 2 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, and then for those that could be there, 11 o'clock. Because we're in the middle of a city, and when you open up your doors of a church on Christmas Eve to those within a city, it's filled no matter what, because there are a lot of people who are just looking for a warm place to be and to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. So Christmas Eve candlelight services have very much been a part of our Christmas tradition, along with what we just did, which is the reading of Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses, before we open up our Christmas presents on Christmas mornings. Do you have Christmas traditions? Things that you celebrate every single year? Things that are just special to you? Well, it's important to know that that Christmas is more than a tradition. Sometimes we go to church, we'll be a part of community services, and without our typical Christmas norms, we'll hear the phrase, it just doesn't feel like Christmas without the right type of food. Now, I'm kind of a tradition breaker. Last year, not for Christmas, but for Thanksgiving, I decided to break a little bit of a tradition because traditional Thanksgiving meal is turkey, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, cranberry, all the typical fixings. But I've had that a lot, and I've celebrated Thanksgiving a lot. So I decided to bring duck. And some people like duck, but to the family celebration that I went to, like I said, it was like a heresy. People looked at me weird. They didn't say stuff. I had ruined Thanksgiving dinner, and nobody ate the duck that I had cooked. Well, except for me, and then I found out I don't really like duck all that much. So sometimes without our traditions, it can't feel like the event that we're trying to celebrate. But traditions change, and the spirit of Christmas is the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit, which remains constant forever, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the difference between the tradition of Christmas and the spirit of Christmas. First off, I want to talk about the tradition of Christmas. Talk about the Christian tradition of Christmas. The first thing we need to know is that there was a past as to how we celebrated Christmas, and there's a present as to how we celebrate Christmas. And things have changed over time. In the past, early Christians, there's a lot of debate as to whether or not early Christians even celebrated the birth of Christ. Some things to highlight would be that there's no mention of the celebration of Christ's birth in the New Testament from the early church. Also, there's some debate amongst scholars as to how the dates of Christmas coincide with also Roman festivals and how that began. And then some argue that, well, no, the date of Christmas being celebrated on the 25th is good and it's appropriate because it is supposed that the Annunciation or the conception of the birth of Jesus was around March 25th or so, and so you do 9 months and then you'll end up at Christmas. And so there's some debate and some argument there. But nevertheless, no matter where you think Christmas began, Christmas wasn't actually instituted as an official celebration by the church until 336. Christianity early on didn't celebrate Christmas, didn't celebrate in the way that we know it today, as early Christians were more focused on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ than they were focused on his birth. It wasn't until Emperor Constantine, he converted to Christianity and declared Christianity a Roman religion, that when we then start seeing the development of the Christmas holiday. And the proof of this is that we actually have this, we have this noted down by Roman bishops in 354. One of the Roman bishops noted that December 25th, is the first recorded, or in 336, is the first recorded Christian celebration of Christmas, and that's the earliest record we have of the official institution of the Christmas celebration. From that time, Christmas developed. The church grew. The news of Jesus went throughout the world, or the known world at the time, in the Catholic Church, then started to develop all types of traditions around Christmas. But if you know much about the Catholic Church, you know that not many of the lay people really understood the scriptures for themselves. All information came from authority, came from church authority. So in the Middle Ages, the Christmas tradition was celebrated by avoiding rich Christmas food or rich foods and avoiding any type of overindulgences during the month of December, all the way until December 25th. But as one medieval historian mentions, that once Christmas Day came, if you had the stamina, then you were expected to eat, drink, be merry, dress up, play games, go dancing around the neighborhood for 12 solid days before you collapsed in a heap. That was the medieval celebration of Christmas. It was celebrated by feasting and gorging yourself, gluttony, drinking, becoming a drunk, and then also priests would take a mystic approach to reading the scriptures, and they would use the Bible as a central practice for interpreting signs of nature to try to predict the next year and future events. Does that sound like Jesus? No. But that was how Christmas was celebrated during the medieval ages. As time went on and after the Protestant Reformation and the Bible went out, people began to understand what the scriptures were actually talking about. And during the Victorian era, Christmas had evolved. During the Victorian era, the celebration of Christmas became more centered on the actual birth of Christ, and churches led special services, and what was introduced was carol singing, became widespread, blending joy and reverence in the celebration of Christ's birth. Along with this, something that we don't think about too often, is that writers like Charles Dickens wrote stories like A Christmas Carol, which helped frame out Christmas for an entire generation. And it focuses on themes of generosity, goodwill, and reflection on Christian values like compassion and charity. Then nativity scenes, religious hymns, and cultural artwork started to arise within culture, and the idea of a holy family became prominent in the Victorian homes and churches. So, it was during the Victorian era, let me see if I can say this word correctly, is that we started to focus on the domesticity of what a home is supposed to be. And all Christian traditions were revolved around the atmosphere of a happy home. Let's see if you can say that word with me. Domesticity. Sounds a little formal, but that is actually where a lot of our culture started to build its ideas around Christmas and also about what a happy, healthy home is supposed to be like. While Christ remained central, Victorian Christians incorporated several secular customs. Gift giving became prominent, reflecting the gifts of the Magi. Santa Claus, inspired by St. Nicholas, of course, became widely recognized, blending charity with a jovial and joy-filled spirit. And the holiday shifted from a lot of debauchery of ancient times of just gorging oneself and feasting and drinking, and became even more Christian-oriented, reflecting those Victorian ideas, those Christian values of love and in charity. And so many of our Western Christian traditions today were introduced in the Victorian era and only really go back about 200 years. Well, times have moved forward. And in modern day, Christmas has shifted. We still hold on to, many Christians attend Christmas services of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, emphasizing the celebration of Christ's birth. Popular rituals still include the singing of Christmas carols, as we've done this morning, candlelight services, and reenactments of the nativity story. The Advent season, beginning four Sundays before Christmas, involved spiritual preparation for the season, marked with Advent calendars, wreaths, and candles. And Christmas Eve remains a time, for many, a holy night that we reflect on the powerful story of the incarnation of God. But along with that, our secular traditions, we have gift giving, where we have become highly focused on being consumers. Of what will we receive? What deals can we get at the stores? Some Americans have also introduced some strange Christmas traditions. I don't know if you've heard about this, but hiding pickle ornaments in Christmas trees. Anybody hear about hiding pickle ornaments? A couple of us, okay. Okay, so hiding pickle ornaments in Christmas trees. No one can really agree on where that tradition came from, but they still do it. Popcorn decoration around the American Christmas tree. Getting drunk and dressed as Santa is one of the festivities that's actually popular around the whole world. And raging bonfires that help Santa find his way home in Louisiana has now become a popular tradition. And I'm sure if you think long and hard and you just look at your life, you could say there's a lot more strange traditions that we celebrate around the time of Christmas. And really, we have no idea where they come from. We have no idea what it's about. But one thing is sure is that they definitely shift away from the core message of what we're really supposed to be celebrating. So each era has shaped how we celebrate and we think about Christmas. But what is Christmas truly about? These four things. Christmas is about a fulfillment of prophecy, the revealing of God's nature, the forgiveness of sins, and spiritual renewal. We're going to start with the fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This was Isaiah's prophecy going back hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. And then we have in Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So what we celebrate is that a legitimate prophecy of old, a Jewish, an ancient Jewish prophecy, is fulfilled in the birth of the Messiah. Think about the historical significance and the spiritual significance of this event. As I've pointed out in the past, because I really like this subject, Christmas is about the fulfillment of God's prophecy of ancient times, and we can have confidence in knowing that these prophecies that were written back in ancient times and the scrolls of old, that some secular scholars would say, well, those were added after the message of Christ or after the life of Christ, is I love the looking into the Dead Sea Scrolls. I love studying, what are they all about? What is their message? Me and my wife have had the chance to be able to see these scrolls ourselves up close and in person. And these scrolls, and that is the great scroll of Isaiah, dates back, that we have today, dates back before the life of Christ, giving us confidence today that the message wasn't added later. The prophecy wasn't added later for Christ. As we stand here today and we think about it, we could say there is a legitimate ancient prophecy that talks about Christ being born in where he was born, and we can verify that today. We celebrate that today. Is that worth celebrating? The spiritual understanding of our faith is understanding that there is more to this world, that God has spoken to people of old, and it's not just a tradition. It's a fulfillment of true history. So we celebrate the fulfillment of prophecy. Next, the revealing of God's nature. Philippians 2, 6 through 7 says this, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The first time in Scripture where we hear about the nature of God before we see it revealed in the person of Christ is in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. This is when God is speaking to Moses. Listen to this description of God. If you were a Jewish believer and you were reading the Bible, just straightforward, the narrative of the Bible, you would come across, who is this God? What is this God like? And the first revealing of God's character in Scripture says this, the Lord, the kind and gracious God, who is patient, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. The powerful love and kindness and goodness and graciousness of God, who is also just and righteous, as the Jews would discover, who is this God? What is this God like? We understand that that God revealed himself exactly in the way that his nature describes him. Gracious, loving, compassionate, faithful, and calling condemnation down on those who practice wickedness. For he was a servant, and he made himself known to us in a man, and that was Christ. Coming down, that the highest God revealed himself, not a God that we can't, not just a God that is a philosophical idea, not a God that is distant from us, but a God who made himself known and said, I'm going to teach you how to live, and stooping down even to the point of the washing of feet of those that he created. He said, I am here to love and to serve you. And so we celebrate that we know what God is like. We know God's nature, and we know that in the person of Christ. And we celebrate that he chose to enter this world first as a child in innocence. Next, Christmas is about the forgiveness of sins. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so they may receive adoption as sons. And then Matthew says, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what we celebrate, is that the story has now been told in the past, that the Lord has come to teach us how to live the right way and to give us access to him. Are you in a dark place this Christmas season? Do you need a way out? Is your mind consumed with bitterness, criticism, contention, a constant comparison to other people? Do you have unforgiveness somewhere deep within your heart? Are you filled with personal pride that you know is there, but you just can't seem to get away from? Jesus knows you better than any of your friends, better than anybody else in this church. And he knows what's going on deep inside of you. He knows what's going on deep inside of mankind. And we celebrate. That's why he came. He came for that reason. He came because he knows the darkness that's in each and every single one of us. He knows what we wrestle with. But he came to be a light in the middle of that darkness. And that's what we celebrate. That's the light of Christmas, the beauty of the Christ child, the one of innocence, the one that comes to bring the light to those that are living in darkness. And then spiritual renewal. Romans 6:11 says this. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, along with Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells within you. Christmas is about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. That's why we call it the Christmas Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who fills all the believers as they go forth into this world and proclaim that message that the angel proclaimed, which was, we bring you good news of great joy. That is who we are to be as Christians, is that as people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to go into the world and say, we celebrate, we sing songs, and we give glory to God in the highest because he brings a light in the darkness of the world that we live. And we are meant to be a Spirit-filled people. Amen? But what gets in the way of our Spirit-filledness? What distracts us from remembering the true message of Christmas, the true message of God's love, of his nature, of his kindness, of his joy? What gets in the way? Sadly, what gets in the way is our habit to depend so much upon our traditions. We can become so focused on our traditions. Have you ever been at a Christmas dinner where something didn't go the right way? It's pretty typical American tradition or tribal story to talk about the family fight over the Christmas dinner, where we're going to talk about politics and we're going to fight with each other over politics. Do you have that in your family? Yeah, yeah. Some of us do. You didn't raise your hand, but I heard it with the groans. It's our traditions. The traditional political argument over the Christmas dinner. It detracts us away from what Christmas is really about. What else? Maybe not having enough money for the gifts that you want to give your family. That can hit families who maybe have young children pretty hard. Is that you don't have enough money. You want to give them the world, but you don't have enough money to give them what you think they need to have because everybody else is giving them really big gifts. Everybody else is giving their kids cars and boats and whatnot. I don't know if you know those people. Maybe not up in the mountain community, but in other places, people get really big gifts for Christmas. What is distracting you from what the real message of Christmas is about? This is what pulls us away from our true focus. When it comes to traditions, this is not a question that Christians are unfamiliar with. In fact, actually in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the Apostle Paul is addressing this idea of traditions as he's trying to help the Jews and the Gentiles navigate their faith the right way. And they're having arguments over, how do we actually follow Christ in the right way? Do we have to become Jewish first? Are we allowed to eat certain types of meat? Should we abstain from certain types of meat? And Paul makes it really clear. And he says this, don't worry about the tradition. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is about, and that is what Christmas is about the righteousness, the goodness of God, It's about the peace that comes from knowing him and about the joy that we can have in him because of who he is and the life that we get to live with him. So, is your understanding of the faith based on just historical traditions? Do you hearken back to the medieval period? I don't think anybody does here. Do you look back and you say, it just has to feel like Christmas? And really what you're saying is Christmas of 200 years ago, the Victorian Christmas. Or maybe your Christmas tradition within your head is you're a modern Christian or a Christmas celebrator. You're somebody that's like, you got to have the Mariah Carey song. You got to go to Black Friday. You got to have, you know, the Bing Crosby, the Elvis Presley Christmas Carol, whatever calls back that childhood memory. Is your version of Christmas within your head based on some kind of traditional celebration of Christmas? Or is it based on the true nature of God's Spirit? The one that reveals truth. The one that brings about the fulfillment of true prophecy, reveals God's nature, forgives sins, and brings about spiritual renewal and revival in your life. You're never too old to have a new spiritual revival in your life, to go back to a position where the love of God can be poured within you. You can fill that joy within his Spirit, and you can move forward in life saying that I feel free. I feel free in the love and the goodness of God because of who he is. We as Christians need to remember, as good as the Christmas trees are and the stars and all the things that we enjoy, is that over time, traditions change from one era to another. But the Spirit of God is eternal, and we are to be focused on the Spirit of God. So this Christmas, as we go forward, let's enjoy our Christmas celebration. Let's enjoy our traditions, whatever your family tradition is, whether it's opening up presents on Christmas Eve that are pajamas, spending time with family, eating certain traditional meals, dressing up in certain ways, listening to certain types of music. But don't forget that those are just traditions. That as a believer in Jesus, what we celebrate is that the light came into the darkness, that the Spirit was poured out upon those who believed, and they were commissioned to bring love and joy and harmony to the rest of the world. And we are the ones who get to create traditions for others to enjoy. Amen? Amen. So, ask yourself this question as you go forward. Is your heart filled with tradition this Christmas? Or is your heart filled with the unchanging Spirit of Christ? And that's the Spirit of his love. It's the Spirit of his humility, and it's the Spirit of his joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that as we look through traditions, as we look through how Christmas has evolved over time, Lord, that we aren't to be people that are just focused on tradition, but we are people to be focused on your Spirit. We are to be people who walk by your Spirit. People who walk in love, people who walk in your light, people who walk in peace. And may that be our pursuit of life, Lord, as we learn to just grow deeper in you, Lord. Revive us today, renew us, Lord, and help us celebrate this Christmas with your Spirit in mind. In Jesus' name, amen.